Welcome to Bless the Knees, a Vikings podcast, coming to you now from the Great Hall. Here are your hosts, Justin Bresky and Andy Erickson.
Hello, Vikings fans, NFL fans, whoever out there is listening. Welcome to Bless the Knees, a Vikings podcast. I am your host, Justin Bresky, and I am joined here in the Great Hall with my co-host, best friend and mortal enemy, Andy Erickson. What is up, my dude?
Hey, what's up? How's it going? You
know, we're living the dream. Just finished coaching one of our football games and come away victorious once again. So
I feel like you just have games every day. Like every time we talk, you're just like, yeah, I have a game. Like, yeah, we won.
It feels like it. It's really weird because all the games are on Tuesdays. So, just the practice schedule of like, you know, you go through an entire week of practice and then you get, obviously have the weekend off and then you come back on Monday and then like, that's your final practice before a game. And it's like, oh, all right, well, we got to really kick it in the gear here to be ready to go.
Yeah. You have any young all-stars that you're just like, okay, this kid's going to do it big when he's older?
There's a couple of guys, both on 7th and 8th grade, that I think will be very solid, like, varsity players when they do reach the high school.
That are actually, like, coordinated and not just awkward little kids that can't catch a ball.
Yeah, I definitely could see, you know, if they put in the hard work and the time and effort and stuff, I definitely think that they could, you know, at least play, like, some sort of college football, whether that's D2, D3, or maybe even some D1, but there's definitely some guys that I could see, like, if they put in that hard work, time, and effort, it's definitely possible.
Stay on their good side. You have to be that coach for them.
I know. I'm hoping so. I'm hoping that one of the people that I end up coaching ends up making it big just so I can be like, yep, I was a part of that. That would feel really cool.
I would take full credit.
I definitely would too. I'd be like, yep, that was all me. That thing that they're doing now, even if like, if they were like a lineman for me, but they're like a linebacker, I'd be like, yep, that I taught them everything they know.
Yep. I'm an expert. I taught them everything.
No, it's been a lot of fun, but yeah, it's definitely, I am a football guy. That is me during the fall. So
you went from the stock guy to the football guy.
Yeah, I'm just the everything. I'm an everything guy. You know, I think I just find my little hobbies and my niches and just go with it.
I'm the football guy and the movie guy.
That's true, and that never really changes for you, though. I mean,
yeah, that's just like an all year thing
outside of football. Like, I mean, when the season's not going, you're mostly just a movie guy. But
just the movie guy. Have you watched anything good lately?
No, we were going to go to the Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings, and then it was like a double feature with because we were going to go to the drive-in movie theater, which, by the way, if anybody's never been to a drive-in movie theater, you should go. It's just a really cool experience.
I've never been to one.
Well, next time you're here, dude, we should go. Laverne has one, and it's perfect. Like, it's $5, and then you get to see two movies. So it's like the...
You, like, tune into a radio station, and you hear the audio that way? That how it works?
Yep. So what we'll do is like, typically if we have like, you know, 3-4 people, which this is kind of where it gets like, if you have 4 people, this process doesn't work very well, but we like to just put like an inflatable air mattress in the back of my truck. And then, we have like this, portable speaker that we put like right next to, or like right in front of us. So it's kind of like movie theater sound coming at us. And then we just kind of get to watch the movie outside, and it's pretty cool because you just get to lay down or you can sit up or kind of do whatever. But we were going to go see that one and then the that new Ryan Reynolds one. What the heck's it called? Yeah.
Oh, God.
That was the double feature, but we ended up not going. So I was pretty bummed because I wanted to see both of those.
Well, Shang-Chi is like one of my favorite Marvel movies.
Really? Wow.
And I don't like Ryan Reynolds, so I did not like Free Guy. But I saw it.
You saw it? Okay. Oh, so you don't like Ryan Reynolds, or you do like Ryan Reynolds?
I don't. I'm not a huge Ryan Reynolds fan.
So if it wasn't Ryan Reynolds, would you have maybe liked the movie a little bit more? Or
probably. Yeah, because the humor is very, like you can tell Ryan Reynolds' humor. It's like that very meta, like, I'm in a movie, look at me, I'm funny.
And, I could see what you're saying, like, very much like how
it's just Deadpool. He's just Deadpool and everything now.
He's become Deadpool. Like, he's very much like how Adam Sandler is the same character in every movie. Like, Ryan Reynolds is Deadpool in every movie now.
Yeah. And Vin Diesel's Dominic Toretto in every movie.
It's all about the family.
Family.
Nothing is more important than family. Your favorite. Vin Diesel,
the best actor of all time. He's either Dominic Toretto or he's someone that just says one line, like the Iron Giant or Groot.
Or Groot, yeah. His only acting like expertise comes in small spurts. He's either going to be Dom Toretto and talk about family. That's like his one line. Or you just got to give him the one line at the entire movie with Iron Giant and Groot.
Yep. It's there's not much else other than that.
There's probably some people listening that are like huge Fast and Furious fans that are like, all right, that's it. I'm done.
Yeah, they're going to turn it off once they learn that. I hate Fast and the Furious
movie. But yeah, so I really want to see that Shang-Chi then, because if you thought it was the best Marvel movie, then I'm like, okay, wow, so it must have been really good.
Definitely, it's like top seven. And it has the best action of any Marvel movie, like the best fight scene.
Really? Yep. Oh man, well, I'm really excited for that then. I'm just happy that movies are back. I mean, football is back, but like movies are actually coming back now.
Things are just back.
Which is like super refreshing and nice, because it's been so long since we've had obviously football, but then also just movies in general. Like, we've had, you know, a lot of shitter stuff coming out for a really long time that has just either been like not very good or not produced very well. And then the stuff that we've been excited for has just been like, you know, delayed and delayed and delayed for so long.
And some are getting pushed back. Like, they pushed back Top Gun again till next year. And that just made me sad.
Oh yeah. That's why I was just thinking the other day, I was like, there's a movie that I was really excited for that had Tom Cruise, and I was trying to remember what the heck it was. And then I was like, I thought it was supposed to come out this summer. So I was like trying to like look for it. And then I didn't even realize it was actually Top Gun.
Yes, Top Gun. And he has the new Mission Impossible.
Oh, I was never really big a Mission Impossible fan, so I can skip on that one. But
you want to enter the danger zone?
I do want to enter the danger zone. That is me. That's actually you. Yeah. You are the danger zone.
I am the danger zone.
Chris Hansen knows that you're the danger zone.
No more Chris Hansen. He gets enough plugs on this show.
Yeah, we're going to have to start charging him some free ad space here.
Me as Andrew Valor, if anyone doesn't know, that I used to wrestle semi-professionally, just like for fun type thing. And that was my wrestling name, was Andrew Valor. And Chris Hansen probably would see that, take one look at the stash I had and tell me to take a seat.
Yes. We probably should like post the picture with this next episode. Just, you know,
I remember I was in a battle royal and I got into the ring and I just heard someone in the crowd yell, "Keep him away from your children." And I was like, oh. That's the response I elicit.
The stash was very thick.
It was, you know, it was needed though.
Yeah, honestly, your semi-pro wrestling career was short, but it was bright. It was bright.
It was worth it.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed watching you, because I thought that, like, even in your short amount of time there, like, that you were probably one of the better people there. At least just like from an athletic standpoint.
Yeah.
And like, obviously, like, you're just, I mean, you're a football guy, you're a movie guy, you're also a wrestling guy.
I'm just a guy. Just a normal guy.
You're just one of those guys.
Just be a normal guy. All right, let's talk some football. If we're football guys, let's talk some football.
Yeah, we need to be football guys. This is not an all-inclusive podcast here. We need to get back into some more football. Yeah. All right, so let's get into this this Vikings-Bengals recap. Andy, there's probably a lot of things that stick out to you from this game, but what are some things that maybe caught your eye that you want to talk about first?
Oh, man. There's a lot of things that happened this game that definitely stick out. I think the biggest thing that needs to be talked about is just the penalties in general.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was like 17 penalties and it was like 12 penalties accepted, 17 total for like 160 yards or something. And you can't win a football game doing that. When every possession on the offense is, you know, second and 20, third and 20, it's hard to blame the offense for being stagnant like they were.
Yeah. Yeah. When you keep shooting yourself in the foot like that, it's, you know, any sort of gain or momentum that you get, essentially you just reverse it because, I mean, face it, in the NFL, you know, a 5-yard penalty or a 10-yard penalty, you know, obviously if it's false start or holding or whatever it is, that could honestly kill a drive. I mean, because if you go first and 20 or first and 15, that's, you know, against an NFL defense, that's hard to convert. So,
yeah, there's not really a play in the playbook for like third and 25. Like, oh, yep, we're ready for this situation. Draw it up.
Yeah. Yeah, so that definitely stuck out to me as well. Just the, you know, and a lot of people will take it as like, oh, the refs were biased, and that's definitely not the case. Well, at least in this instance,
with the penalties, it's not the case. There's some other things that the refs weren't so great at.
There's some other things that we'll have to talk about, but yeah, as far as like the holdings and the false starts, those were all valid, and it's just like infuriating to see, you know, your football team just completely, you know, no discipline, no fire, and just looking like a really bad team, in a game that we thought, you know, should have been pretty decisive in how we perform. It was just very frustrating to watch.
Very confident going into this game. It would have, like, it was right towards the top as one of my locks of the week is like, oh, there's kind of no way we lose this unless we really do something like commit 17 penalties. But you can't really predict that. And it's like the two of the false starts at the beginning of the game were CJ Ham. And
yeah,
it's like Zimmer said in his press conference, Ham's like the last person he would expect to get a call like that. It's like, it's definitely not normal for our team. I don't think we're going to, you know, see stuff like that every week. So, I don't know, like this game against Arizona coming up is kind of, I feel like the first time we'll get to see our offense actually play the way they're supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
I can't criticize play calling in a game like that. You can't, like, there's a lot of things it's hard to criticize when you're backed up the entire game.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely hard to take a look at the whole picture when, you know, from an offensive standpoint, that first half, when you just back yourself into a corner and literally shoot yourself in the foot 75 times.
Yeah.
So it was definitely a very frustrating first half. Obviously the second half went a lot better. But yeah, that was definitely one thing that stuck out, was just those penalties and the undisciplined football. Was probably one of the most infuriating things. And, you know, you just think like, from a head coach like Zimmer, you just imagine that he probably ripped them a new one, you know, in the locker room during halftime. I imagine that was not a pretty experience, in the locker room, over halftime. But yeah, does that definitely, it infuriated me to a point to where I was just like, this can't be happening. This is impossible.
Yeah. And the game was still as close as it was. So like without even cutting those penalties in half, like it's the game could be totally different.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's talk about one of the things that I noticed that I was just super happy about, that I think, I mean, both of us probably were very surprised with, was just our special teams play. I feel like the past couple of years, our special teams play has been very, very up and down. Not only from like a kickoff, kick return, punt return, those kind of things, but just like special teams in general has just been a really rough spot for us. And I really feel like this game, I was so impressed, not only with our new punter, what's his name? Barry.
Yep.
He was bombing them. And I was like, oh my God, I don't think I've ever seen a Vikings punter kick a ball this far before.
Yeah, especially that last punt of the game where he bombed it like 60 yards.
Yeah, it was like pinned him right in their in their 10, I think.
Yeah,
that was insane, because I was like, oh man, this is gonna suck because they're gonna have really good field position, and then we just flipped the field completely. And then not just that, but also the tackling, and like everybody just looked fired up and like ready to go on special teams. So that was one thing that stuck out to me that has been something that's been missing for us for a long time, It's just that really good special teams play, because even though, you know, with special teams, they say it's a third of the game, which it really is.
Yeah.
But special teams plays, you know, obviously those are maybe only a handful of plays every single game. So they have to make sure that they count, like, both offense and defense.
Yeah. And it's just nice seeing the special teams perform, like you said, when for the past couple years, it's been pretty rough. Because, you know, Barry was great. Joseph was clutch when it came time to, you know, make a field goal, which I could have swore was not going to go through. Especially made it when they iced him and he made the first one. I was like, well, that was the one make. He's not making it twice. Like, there's no way.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking the exact same. And I'm pretty sure every Vikings fan was thinking the exact same thing of like, oh, that was cool. Oh, they called the timeout. Oh, crap.
Oh, well, it was fun while it lasted.
Yeah, so that was I forgot to even mention that you know, that Greg Joseph had that those clutch field goals at the end there, especially when Jesse Bates was, like, you know, riding his hip all the way through the second one. I'm like, oh god, he's probably like,
yeah, just trying to, like, just John at him talking, and then I think it was like O'Neal pulled him away and started talking to him.
Yep, he was like, eh, come over here. You don't need to talk to my kicker.
Yeah, come talk to me.
So, yeah, I thought that was awesome. But, yeah, special teams overall, I was very impressed. That was, I mean, probably the best part of the game for us was everything on special teams.
Yeah, the special teams were great. The offense, like we said, was a little stagnant. And then let's get into the defense. What did you think of the defense?
Very up and down. Like, I really think that I was surprised by the amount of yardage we were giving up in large chunks. Specifically just on the ground to Joe Mixon, like, he just seemed to be chunking us pretty consistently, which surprised me, especially with our new defensive front. I thought we were going to have a little bit more of an impact in the run game.
Yeah.
But they seemed to be able to just move the ball on us. You know, we had some good sacks here and there, but for the most part, like, it almost felt like they were just able to move the ball on us, no issue. Which leads to my second point is, I'm a little bit worried about Rashad Breeland. I'm hoping he could piece it back together and have a better game, because on the preseason he looked great, and this game it just seemed like he was just, like, he made every wrong choice possible.
Yeah, I mean, he even had flashes this game where he looked great, but then the next play would be like, you know, getting burned in coverage, missing a tackle. He was playing hurt. You could tell he was playing hurt. He'd be like wincing after every play, and then he'd go to the sideline and Boyd would come out for a play. Then he'd come back out, and it's like, you know, how bad was he feeling it? What did it affect his game, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like you said, you bring in Michael Pierce, you bring in Dalvin Tomlinson kind of to shore up that defensive line against the run game, because we don't want another situation against, like, Kamara last year. Mm-hmm. But Mixon was just doing whatever he wanted.
Yep. Yeah, and Riley Reiff, like, I don't think he allowed a single pressure. And I think DJ Wonnum was primarily going up against him, from what I remember seeing. And Wonnum didn't do unfortunately, he didn't do a ton of anything.
Yeah.
With his reps. So that was very discouraging to see from that. But defensively, we have, you know, it's the first time this unit has played together, and for a lot of those guys. And then also, I mean, you know, with Pierce being, you know, out for a whole season due to you know, being out declining for the COVID year, and then obviously Patrick Peterson coming in, Bashad Breeland coming in, Xavier Woods. Like, we have a lot of these new guys that, you know, I think we're going to put it together. We're going to piece things together, but this first showing was not very good.
Yeah. And a lot of Zimmer's defense, especially in the secondary, relies on, you know, these zone coverages where there can't be miscommunications between the safeties and the corners. And when it does happen, big plays happen, and we saw a couple of those.
Yeah.
It seemed like, you know, once Smith and Woods get on the same page as, you know, Peterson and Breeland, it should be better than it was.
Yeah, and I do want to say, like, Michael Pierce had a monster of a game.
Yeah,
he did. Like, he had 2 sacks, I believe, and then like I think 1 or 2 tackles for loss, and a couple other tackles and some pressures. So I am really happy with the game that he had, and I'm super excited to see him, you know, continue to play, because he, for a big dude, like, he's the biggest guy on the team. He is so nimble and quick, and it is impressive.
Yeah, the fact that he was just like getting to the QB that fast and like making moves on the centers and getting sacks. He's the biggest dude on the team. He's a monster.
Yeah. He was like doing finesse swim moves and like just getting there so quick. The center was like, what just happened?
Yeah, exactly.
So I was very impressed with Michael Pierce, and I'm hoping that that's going to continue. And I really think that our defense will put it together. But you know, it's going to be a rough stretch these next couple games. So, we really got to put it together quick. Otherwise we're going to dig ourselves a hole real fast.
Yep, exactly. This week against Arizona is going to be a big test.
Yeah, it really will be. So if we look at it, you know, if you look at Vikings Twitter and a lot of Vikings fans in general, cause I think a lot of the times Vikings fans are just automatically pessimistic. A lot of the time, which I mean, maybe is most football fans, unless you're like a cheering for a team, like, I don't know, that makes it the playoffs every year or wins a bunch of Super Bowls. But, am I like really worried about the season? Not yet. No. Because obviously it's the first game and there's a lot of new pieces coming together, and our offense like looked good once they got things rolling. You know, so I don't know. Am I concerned? Slightly, but do I still think that 11 wins is on the table? Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't. There's a lot of, you know, hot takes after week one and a lot of pessimism and like, oh, well, like Zimmer's gone, or, you know, Spielman's gone, Cousins out, or we're like burning down the whole ship. But there's definitely a good team in there. Mm-hmm. And, I'm excited to see them play at more of their potential than they showed this week.
Yeah.
I also bet a parlay this week and I would have won $300, but the only team that didn't hit was the Vikings. So
the Vikings hurt you in two ways.
I was sad because they lost, and I was also sad because they lost me money. So they should feel happy that I'm not more mad right now, that I'm being optimistic about the season.
You're not mad. You're disappointed.
I'm just disappointed. And Zimmer owes me $300.
I'm sure he could probably afford that. So yeah. Actually, no, maybe ask it from Kirk. You know, Kirk is doing pretty well for himself. So
actually, I'll just ask the refs, because, I mean, they took the money away from me. In the end of the game,
it's so true. I read a statistic that our win probability was like 87% before that Dalvin Cook. I don't even know if I want to call it a fumble.
Yeah.
But before that, before the fumble in quotation marks, our win percentage was like 87%, and it like automatically flipped to like 29%. You know, so I just completely, you know, flipped the game. Sure, we should have won with the first drive on offense we had in overtime. So there's a lot of different things you can look at of like, you know, this should have happened, that should have happened. But
yeah,
you can't deny that call was a very bad call.
It was, especially when you compare it to the Jefferson call earlier in the game, where it's like, oh, well, his butt was down, so we're going to call him down. It was like the complete opposite, with like the butt not being down. But they called him down, and then Dalvin's butt being down, and then on saying he wasn't. So it's like, well,
yeah,
I don't know what you're looking at. Like,
yeah.
And
yeah,
then they say the reason for the Jefferson one is they didn't have an angle for it. But like, how do you not have end zone cameras? Or like,
right. Well, don't they have the pylon cameras? Like,
yeah. Aren't those just there? So
I just, yeah. Whenever I hear that, I'm like, how is that even possible when you have 17,000 cameras in the stadium to catch this game?
You can see anything. Any sense. There's an angle for everything, but then they're like, oh, this touchdown? Nah, there's no angle for that, so we can't really check it.
Yeah, okay. That's frustrating.
Which, I mean, we ended up scoring the very next play, but we lost a timeout, and that, you know, that's big. Right.
That was huge. But yeah, so unfortunately, we'll take the 0-1 start to the season, but we are first place in the division, baby.
Yep, first place.
Every other team lost, and we lost by the least amount. So yep. Take that.
And
take
they all that, lost, suckers. They all lost to NFC teams. We lost to an AFC team. So go yep. us.
Yep. So yeah, it's even better on multiple fronts. So take that, NFC scrubs. Yep. NFC North scrubbers.
Last place Packers, lol.
Just like we knew, bad.
Yep. Staying in last. Rodgers looked really bad, and it made me so happy.
Yep. Yeah, he... honestly, he just looks rough, and I don't know if it's just because he like wants to look that way, or like he just looks like he's like a homeless dude.
Yeah, he's just doing his thing, and just like, oh, I'm supposed to play football. I guess I'll go on the field.
Maybe it's like it's Rodgers. Is his final screw you to the Packers is just to like play poorly and just destroy their season.
Or maybe he's like, I know I'm leaving, so I'm gonna get you guys the first overall pick before I leave. No, he's helping.
Oh, okay. So maybe it's like a inside job kind of thing.
Yeah, he's super helpful. He's just like, you know, I'll get you guys a good pick before I take off on you and go play for the Broncos.
Yeah, so that was definitely nice to see. I mean, not only the Packers losing, but the Lions and then also the Bears. It was good because, you know, now we just... It's almost like we just didn't even have a week one to begin with.
Last week was preseason.
Yeah, preseason. Preseason game. Didn't matter. So
week one against the Cardinals. What do you think going into this game?
Yep. So week one football is officially back. Versus the Cardinals this coming week. You know, this game, after watching how they handled the Titans, it does concern me a little bit more now than I was like last week.
Yep.
Only because, I mean, obviously their offensive performance, like Kyler Murray was unbelievable in that game, like with his throws and obviously his scrambling, which obviously with our history of having to play Russell Wilson and some of these other very mobile quarterbacks, I always feel like we struggle against them. So having that aspect, as well as going against possibly one of the best wide receivers in the game, DeAndre Hopkins, And the biggest worry factor for me is probably Chandler Jones.
Yeah.
5 sacks versus Taylor Lewan, who is probably viewed as one of the better tackles in the NFL. It's a little worrisome, you know, because our offensive line really struggled last week against a team that we thought, like, sure, Trey Hendrickson was going to be, like, a problem. But we kind of struggled against everybody.
Struggled bad, yeah. And
yeah,
like you said, I wasn't as worried until I watched that Titans game. Murray looks really good. He's like so elusive. There was like plays where he was just bouncing off defenders and spinning around, and like they could not tackle him or get to him. So we definitely have some like PTSD of mobile quarterbacks. But I think our defense is better than the Titans' defense, so that's a plus.
Yeah.
And we didn't mention it earlier, but I thought Vigil had a really good game in place of Barr. So
he did. He did have an incredible game.
If Barr doesn't play, I feel a lot more comfortable now with Vigil in there. It's really going to come down to our offense versus that defensive line, because their defensive line is a lot better than the Bengals, I would say. They've got Chandler Jones and they got J.J. Watt down there.
Yep.
So I think that we're going to see a lot of maybe like double teaming on Jones or like, you know, Conklin staying on the line type stuff.
Mm-hmm. Just yep.
Or anything like that, just to chip him and try and give Kirk a little more time to throw the ball.
Well, yeah, it's just going to be that much more important for us to be able to actually establish the run this game, you know, so then that way we take some pressure off of Kirk. And obviously, when you're down, you know, 2+ scores and you have to, and pretty much they just know that you're going to pass the ball. You know, it is very hard to play that style of football because they are going to be able to rush the quarterback and just expect to pass every time.
Yeah.
So I do think if we can establish the run, you know, hopefully get a lead, you know, if not, at least keep it close where we can actually utilize Dalvin Cook a bit more. You know, I definitely think that we would have a very good chance to win this game. Right now we are viewed as the underdogs. But, you know, I think it's going to be one of those things where I think this could be a very evenly matched game, and this is just going to be dependent on which team is going to make more plays.
Yeah, this also, it feels like a, it's early in the season, but it does feel like a make or break type game where it's like, well, we're going to kind of know what kind of team we have after this game.
Yeah.
Because we have a hard start to the season. So if we come out flat here and then come out flat, you know, week three against the Seahawks, it's going to be hard to recover from that, even though we are first place in the division and the best team in the division.
Yeah. Even though we are the best currently, we are the best right now.
Best.
It would be really tough to dig out of that hole because we do have a really tough schedule, not only having to play against the, you know, some of these teams that we're lined up against, but, you know, the conference, from the AFC that we're matched up against has, like, almost every team is strong, you know, with the AFC North being that conference with the Browns and Ravens and Steelers.
Yep.
Those are all going to be very tough games. So we need to make sure that we take care of business in this one to build some positive momentum. And hopefully we can go into next week, you know, 1-1 and hopefully be able to beat Seattle at home. So.
Yeah. And we'll be there to watch it happen.
Heck yeah. Oh, I'm so excited for that. It's going to be so much fun.
And it's an afternoon game. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah. It's like 3:25, isn't it?
Yep. I mean, the Cardinals game is an afternoon game and Seattle's an afternoon game. We get two afternoon games in a row.
Huh. I suppose because we are playing like West Coast teams, so maybe they just decided to push it back to get more viewers kind of thing.
Yeah. I'm not used to afternoon once, let alone 2 weeks in a row. It's going to feel weird.
That will be very different because I'm used to like, you know, coming home from church and then being like, okay, yeah, it's time to turn on the Vikings when I'm like making lunch. And now I'm going to have just a pretty big break in between. So,
yeah, I already get bored because like I'm usually up around like 8. So those couple hours before noon, I just sit there and I'm like, is it noon yet?
Is it here yet? Is it here yet?
But now I can just turn on Red Zone on the big screen and chill.
Yeah. Yep.
Watch my bets lose in real time.
Yep. And watch your bets lose and your favorite team lose. It's perfect.
My perfect Sunday.
Well, speaking of perfect Sundays, Andy, I don't know about you, but I felt very fulfilled outside of the Vikings loss. I felt like there was a lot of very good football outside of a few stinker games where there was blowouts. I was pretty happy with this first week. What about you? Was there anything that really stuck out to you or what teams maybe outperformed your expectations?
You know, there were some good games. Obviously, we touched on the Saints just stomping the Packers. The Packers scored 3 points. It was great. Mm-hmm. The game last night was insane. That Raiders Ravens game was one of the craziest overtimes I'd ever watched. And did you watch the game at all?
I did. Yeah, it was an insane overtime.
Did you watch the Manning stream?
I didn't. I forgot that was even a thing until I was listening to around the NFL podcast where they were talking about it, and I was like, oh, it sounded like it was actually pretty like entertaining.
I watched it for most of the game, and it was amazing. I'll watch that every time it's on, because like it's funny watching two guys, because usually commentators are like, you know, journalists, you know, mass comm graduates, you know, that's the thing, sports broadcasting a lot of the time. And here it's like, oh, these two guys are probably better than both quarterbacks out there. And they're just like breaking down every single thing. The defense moves like slightly and Peyton's like, oh, this is going to happen. This. And the whole fourth quarter and overtime, they had Russ there. So Russ was breaking everything down. And at one point, Peyton threw on like a way too small helmet and was writing up plays on a whiteboard and just screaming. I don't know. It was like a fever dream, but it was great.
Yeah, I completely forgot about it, and I'm really bummed that I did, because I just looking at like the NFL subreddit and then just the way that some of the guys on the podcast I listened to, the way they were describing it, it sounded very entertaining. And like I heard that Eli like had started having like a fire alarm going off like in his house. And,
yeah, his alarm went off, and then like they were just getting pissed at the end when they like hard counted on the goal line in overtime, and then. They're like, okay, the one thing you can't do is hard count. There's no reason to hard count. And then they do it and get a false start. And like Eli just looked like he wanted to punch someone. Yeah, they were just like fans like us. Like, what the hell is going on? Like, this is insane.
That's awesome. That's so awesome. It's just so, it's so fun to like have a, like, I mean, obviously, everybody could have a disagreement on whether or not Eli Manning is going to be a Hall of Famer, but. You know, obviously Peyton Manning's already, you know, a Hall of Famer, and there's two guys like that that just understand football to a point like beyond everybody else's knowledge is incredible to hear their takes on things.
And the game was entertaining too, so that helped.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm definitely gonna, because they're gonna do that every Monday, right?
I think so. I hope so.
I'm gonna have to check that out, because I missed the first one, so I really want to make sure I check that out.
I think they
out.
Just have it on like ESPN2. I went to turn on the game and I saw it pop up on YouTube TV, and I was like, oh, like I forgot about this thing. I just turned it on.
Yeah, I saw that there was like three different options, and I just chose the first one, which I think was just the normal broadcast. Normal. Which actually, like, that team, like, surprisingly, like I liked the way that they put on the program, and like nobody really stuck out as like super annoying or anything like in the past. So
yeah.
So I don't know. Overall, it was I'm happy with the transition compared to what it used to be. You know, it's like the booger mobile and like,
Witten, you know, just not like, knowing what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Yeah. There were some rough days for Monday Night Football for a while.
Yeah. It was rough. It was rough.
But another team that really surprised me, or that like, yeah, they were, I think they were technically the underdogs and I picked them to win, was the Eagles.
Yep.
They came out looking great against a bad Falcons team, but, Hurts looks like, you know, a good NFL quarterback. And he's like, he's got Devontae Smith too, who looked great in his first game. Looked like a favorite target already in his first game. So it's, and their defense like smothered Atlanta. They're kind of this bend don't break. I kept seeing them in red zone. It looked like the Falcons were like within 10 yards of the end zone at all times, but they just could not score.
Yep. Yeah, they were able to move the ball, but once they got into the red zone, it was just like impossible. The team that stuck out to me was probably also the Eagles. I was very surprised with how well they moved the ball. I was pretty like high on Jalen Hurts to begin with, because I liked the way that he came in, you know, last season and was able to, kind of get a spark. But just with a new coaching staff and you know, obviously a lot of young players, I was surprised just with how well they were able to just come out of the gate and just really smack around Atlanta. That was an impressive game by them. And I'm sure it's very exciting for a lot of Eagles fans out there, that there's some promise and some things to be hopeful for.
Yeah. Also the end of that Lions Niners game was crazy.
Yeah. I just remember like looking down and seeing like, oh wow, the Niners are waxing the Lions. And then, like it was like 20 minutes later, maybe not 20 minutes, I don't know, 15 minutes later. And I see like, wait, the Lions are only down by like 10. And then I was like, oh, the Lions are only down by this much. And I was like, what the heck?
I think they were down 24 points with like 2 minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
And then they like scored onside kick score. Like they just scored 3 touchdowns within like 30 seconds or some crazy number. Just like almost brought it back. So the Lions might be a fantasy wise, they might be a good garbage time team, you know?
They very well could be. Very well could be.
And I'm really, I got Hawkinson in one of my leagues. It looks like I'm going to be really happy with that pick.
Yeah, I think Goff really does favor, throwing to those tight ends. Obviously, when he was in LA, he really liked throwing to Higbee and Gerald Everett. So I think Hawkinson's going to be a really, really big factor there for them. And I think Dan Campbell was like a tight ends coach too. So it's like, you know, maybe he is, you know, designing some special plays just for the tight end to maybe get the ball a few more times or something like that. So
I just looked at the stats for this game, and like Hockenson was the leading receiver with 8 catches for 97 yards. Mm-hmm. But the next two like leading receivers with also 8 catches were Swift and Jamal Williams.
Huh.
They both had 8 receptions.
That is very odd.
And then the next closest was Khalif Raymond with 3 catches. So like it was Hockenson and 2 running backs doing all of the catching out there.
Just kind of short dumps and kind of those mid tight end route kind of things.
Yeah. So yeah. That's another thing to look at if you're playing fantasy in a PPR league. Like Jamal Williams is out there somehow still.
Right. Yeah, that definitely could be a great pickup, depending if you need some depth or something. That would be a nice one to do.
Yeah.
Well, Andy, we kind of talked about week one in general, but let's talk about our locks and upsets of the week. So for our locks of the week, we both went 1-0 this week. You ended up going with who was your lock of the week again?
I went with the 49ers.
49ers over the Lions. So were you sweating it all when it was getting pretty close to the end there?
No, not really. It's the Lions.
Yeah.
If it was another team, maybe, but like Lions, that something like that big and cool can't happen to Detroit.
Definitely can't happen. Definitely
no, it just can't. There's no way.
Well, let's get into our locks of the week for this week, Andy. I suppose I should talk about that. I was also 1-0, and I picked the Rams over the Bears, which easy lock, easy money.
That was an easy lock.
You know, so no problems there whatsoever. Also, easy money.
I just thought of this now, off the cuff, throwing this out there for our locks of the week. We can only use a team once.
Oh, how's that okay. Sound? Yeah, well, we're gonna have to keep a better note or record of this then.
I'll make some crazy Excel spreadsheet with a formula and algorithm, or I'll just write it down on a notebook.
Okay, I prefer the crazy algorithm, but okay. But if the notebook is the only way, then we could probably just roll with that too.
Okay, we'll see. So we'll stick with picking our locks of the week, and once you use a team, you can't use them again.
Okay, that sounds good to me. All right, Andy, who is your lock of the week for week two? Who do you got?
My lock of the week this week is the Broncos over the Jaguars. So the Broncos had a good showing against the Giants. I knew going into the season they were going to have – they're kind of that team where they have a really good defense and Teddy's a good enough game manager and someone that's not going to make mistakes to where if the defense plays as well as they're supposed to and Teddy just plays decently, they're going to win games. And the Jaguars came out and – just straight up lost to the Texans. So they, you know, they don't look great. I don't think Urban Meyer is going to be a good NFL coach. I don't think Trevor Lawrence is going to start lighting it up, you know, this season. So I think the Broncos defense against a young quarterback like that, it's a lock.
I like that. Yeah. I think that's going to be like a for sure lock for you there. Because of that defensive pressure. And obviously with that Jaguars team just having a rough first week, I don't foresee that rough week, you know, just being a one-time thing. I definitely could see it lasting for a bit longer.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's a good pick there. So I ended up going with Patriots over the Jets. So I think I saw the statistic. It was Bill Belichick is 13-0 versus rookie quarterbacks at home. Since he's been a coach for the Patriots. So I almost feel like this might be a little bit cheating, but you know, obviously with the Patriots having a rookie quarterback too, it is very even, but I just think with the Patriots having a little bit of a better roster on defense and everything, I just think they're going to be able to get it done.
Yeah. I mean, they're both 0-1. They're both winless, both rookie quarterbacks. You know, pretty different teams than they were a year ago. At least the Patriots are on the defensive side and with Mac Jones in there. But you know, Zach Wilson, I thought, looked pretty good. He had some, you know, some growing pains here or there. The biggest thing about the Jets is they don't have a run game. So it's, you know, Corey Davis lit it up for them. Zach Wilson had 258 yards, 2 touchdowns, and a pick. But they ended up losing to the Panthers there. I think the Patriots is a good pick, especially at home.
Yeah. I definitely am pretty confident with the pick, just because it is a home game for them. And with Belichick, you know, obviously having a lot of knowledge of what makes those rookie quarterbacks tick and what makes them uncomfortable. So I don't know. I feel very confident in it.
You know what? I did my research. It's in New York.
You know what?
So, Bill Belichick's 3-0 on the road against rookie quarterbacks.
There we go. Yep. All right. Well, my entire theory and lock has been thrown off, but you know what? I'm still rolling with it. You know, I'm still going to roll with the Patriots over the Jets.
Yeah, I think we'll just pretend that never happened.
Yeah, we'll just cut that part out.
Yep, we're definitely
in reality, it's probably not getting cut. So,
yep.
But yeah, we'll just leave it in there.
Yeah,
but we'll cut it out.
You just love the Patriots. You can say it.
All right, Andy. Upsets of the week. You ended up taking a big old L for your pick, and I am 1-0 for the upsets of the week too. So I am the best.
You are the best, and you also cheated.
You are the worst.
I went for the big upset with the Jets. You picked the Steelers. That's cheating.
Yeah, it wasn't cheating. Everybody thought the Steelers sucked. So
yeah, that's true. But you know, the Jets almost did it. I was almost proud of my Jets.
Yeah, it was a really close game. So Andy, who do you got this week? Who's your upset of the week this week? Who you got?
This week my upset of the week is going to be the Cowboys over the Chargers. Cowboys or the Chargers are 3-point favorites. And after a win against the Washington football team last week, a game that Fitzpatrick got hurt in and Heinicke came in, stepped up. Close game. And obviously the Cowboys lost to Tampa the first game of the season on Thursday night. I think Tampa has a better defense than the Chargers, and Dallas lit up the Tampa defense. So I think the Cowboys are going to win games through scoring like 40 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
And so every Cowboys game is just going to be a shootout, apparently. And I think the Cowboys have more offensive power than the Chargers, so I think they're going to win this base.
Yeah, they do have the slightly better roster, I think. So I do think that, you know, with that amount of offensive firepower, they should be able to pull it off. You know, because the Chargers, they, you know, they have some pieces on defense here and there, and you know, some weapons here and there. But I don't know. I like that pick a lot. I think the Cowboys are definitely going to be able to do it because, you know, Dak and CeeDee and Amari and all those guys, I feel like they just are building up a good rapport and should be able to put it all together on the field come Sunday.
Yep.
So I have for this week, the Panthers over the Saints. You know, we're not much of a big Saints guy to begin with. So I definitely like figured this into it all of like, you know what? I just want the Saints to lose. So, and the Panthers are kind of like one of my like little sweetheart teams just because we have a couple friends that are Panthers fans.
Yeah.
So I kind of like inadvertently kind of root for them, here and there. And I just think that Sam Darnold, you know, he had some streaky throws here and there first week, but, he looked pretty decent. And I think it's possible that they could, you know, roll into, I guess they're not really rolling into New Orleans by any means, but they can roll into this game hoping that they could put something together to beat these Saints.
Yeah, no, I think that's a pretty good pick. I mean, the Jets kept it close with the Panthers last week, and the Saints came out swinging. So, like, just looking at that face value, you might think like, well, what? Like, how are you picking the Panthers over the Saints? But
mm-hmm.
Saints got a little bit beat up, lost a couple players to injury. I know their center is going to be out. And I don't think Jameis is going to, you know, throw 5 touchdowns a game every single game.
Yeah.
And also, mm-hmm. you know, I think McCaffrey's still kind of getting back into the swing of things after missing most of last season. And so he had like an off game, and an off game for him was like 100 rushing yards and 90 receiving yards with no touchdown. So,
right. Yeah.
I can definitely see him, you know, just having one of his pop off games.
Yeah. I really do think that Sam Darnold is going to settle into this offense and actually be able to put together a nice year. So I don't know. I feel very confident in the pick, and like what you said, you know, I don't foresee Jameis throwing for 5 more touchdowns, because it just was kind of like the way that the game kind of rolled, it kind of almost just rolled into that, because I think he only had like 140 some passing yards, which is kind of an insane stat to begin with.
Yeah.
Like 5 touchdowns and only 149 passing yards. It's kind of a weird one, but
it was definitely weird.
But I don't know. I feel pretty good about it. So let's see, I guess, how we're going to roll into this week two, if we can stay undefeated in our locks, and then I'll see if I can maintain my lead in the upsets of the week.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see about that, and I'll get to work on my Excel spreadsheet to keep track of our picks.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. We definitely have to do that, because then they'll just make it a lot harder. Because I'm sure there's going to be some very tough matchups we're probably going to have to pick into. But yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Yeah. By the end of the season, we're going to be picking, you know, probably some upsets for our lock of the week. Probably get to double dip.
Right. Yeah. We'll probably be able to double dip for sure with having the lack of teams to pick from.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we ended up wanting to record yesterday. But we ended up running into a couple of different snags, AKA, I'm just trying to get involved with everything, and I started up doing a bowling league. And so now I'm like involved in obviously working, and then football. And then I'm also doing like a bowling league on Monday nights. So, I'm just kind of getting rolled in and involved in everything here. So Wednesdays are probably going to be, or Tuesday night, Wednesday is probably going to be, when our episodes are going to be coming out here, just for the sake of, gosh dang man, I got to get some sleep here and there. So
yeah, you get your rest when you can, and we'll try and, you know, if we do Tuesday nights, so we can talk about the whole week before and preview the next coming week. I think it works pretty perfect.
Yeah, and I actually do like, I do enjoy being able to talk about the Monday night game too. So let me just have a bigger picture of the whole, you know, NFL landscape before we get into our next game. So
yeah,
so it'll work out good, but I just wanted to mention that, because we did talk about that a little bit our last pod. So speaking of that, as far as pods go, be a caveman, go to Twitter and go to Bless Knees Pod. And go ahead and give us a follow, because we do tweet during the games, happy or sad. And we like to just kind of interact with you guys as much as we can. So make sure to go get us a follow there. Follow me at Justin Bresky, and you are at Andy.
I am at It's Andy Erickson.
So make sure to give us some follows there, because we'll be like live tweeting some of the games or even just kind of some general stuff throughout the week. Like, comment, subscribe, leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We'd love to hear from you guys a bit more. We love the mailbag segment. We're finally able to interact with you guys a bit more from that standpoint, but we'd love to hear about what your opinions are with the program, especially now that we're going to get a little more consistent episodes coming out here now that the season has started. A great week one. You know, we're getting back into, we're out of preseason form now, you know, just like how the NFL players had to deal with getting ready for the season. It is here for us too. And I think, Andy, I think we're ready to hit our season stride.
We're ready for week one against the Cardinals.
Yep, week one. Yeah, week one against the Cardinals. Yeah, football's back, baby.
Football's back. Let's go. First in the division.
First in the division. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next time, friends. Bless the knees.
Bless the knees. My